Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family to come and join us. And this week, we have our very, very special guest to start us off on the week, which is Mrs. Annette Griswold. And Miss Barbara will be joining us shortly. We had a little bit of a difficulty here, a little technical difficulty. She'll be calling in just a moment. And we're going to start with this conversation, though, by saying hello to our dear friend, Miss Annette Griswold. Hi, Miss Annette.
Hey, Diana. How are you today?
I am doing fine. God is so good. He has given us so many friends, and one of them is you, Miss Annette, and I just love you. We just thank God for you. We cannot say enough about you.
Well, honey, all that I have ever accomplished, it's been through the Lord because I can't do anything on my own. And as I get older, I realize more and more how little I know.
Well, Miss Annette, I think that... Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Annette. I was just going to say, the beginning of wisdom is the awe or fear of the Lord. And, you know, you have to be humble, and you're certainly that. I think that's what makes you one of the greatest people I know is, you know, you've got just such a humble heart and your love for the Lord. But, Miss Annette, can I go ahead and start the show first by letting you put us on the right foundation with a prayer?
All right. Okay. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to come on the air and just share what you've given us. I thank you for City on the Hill radio program and the work that Diana puts into it. Lord, I thank you for modern technology that your word can be spread. It's not limited. Even Jesus, when you walked on this earth, you were limited as to how far you could reach out. But, Lord, you've given us the sky. It's not even the limit, Father, just worldwide. And, Father, everything looks so bad now, and our nation's in dire straits, the world's in dire straits. But Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can look to you and that you've got it all under control.
With only 8% of the world's population, we created over 95% of the world's wealth. I hear someone joining now on the radio show. Is this you, Mrs. Annette?
Yes, it is. We just had our prayer. How are you today?
Well, I am just fine, and it is so delightful to hear your voice. always love it when you join us on the radio. Were you able to hear my intro?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just wondering if I was having technical difficulties. That was the reason I asked.
Oh, we were, Ms. Barbara, we were having, to tell you the truth, it was a man-made technical difficulty. I was the one that did it. We had an extra guest, and I was talking to him, and he's coming on tomorrow. Ben Dupre is going to come on tomorrow. But instead of hanging up on Ben had already hung up, and I clicked on yours, Miss Barbara. So I apologize for that. But we're back on board. Miss Annette went ahead and prayed for us and got us started on the right foundation. But, yeah, that was a man-made technical difficulty by me, and I apologize.
Oh, well, that's no problem. That's no problem at all. I was just bragging on America, bragging on our biblical foundation, bragging on the Lord and all he's done for us here in this country. So I enjoyed it, actually, so no problem. But, Miss Annette, I was also going to lead into what today is in history. And today is the anniversary of the death of William Penn, one of our great founding fathers. Now, he was the founder, of course, as everyone knows, the founder of Pennsylvania. And he called the settling of Pennsylvania a holy experiment. He wanted this experiment in self-government. He believed, as the Bible teaches, that we are fearfully and wonderfully created in God's own image and likeness with great abilities, great talents, great intelligence, because God created us to be like him. So, of course, we're creative, we're intelligent, we are capable of the wonders of creation, the beauty of creation, as well as we're capable of appreciating the beauty that man creates through the resources that God has placed here. And, you know, I always like to point out that God is infinite and infallible, and he is God, the first and the last. And his creativity is limitless, and he creates, he spoke the world into existence. You know, he creates out of nothing, and he speaks, and it is. But with mankind, we can't do that. What we can do is we can create and develop out of the resources that God has placed here within our world, in the earth, and using all of the elements that he created for us to use. And, you know, I don't think we've even scratched the surface in that respect. There's so much more yet to be discovered that he has not allowed us to discover yet and to be developed. But William Penn called this colonization of Pennsylvania a holy experiment in self-government, that we were capable of making good decisions, having good judgment, if we were submitted to God. And I know you believe that too, don't you, Miss Annette?
Of course. It saddens me to see the condition our nation's in, but it's also encouraging to see some of the most well-known evangelistic leaders sort of leading the way to try to bring our country back under God. And I see where the NRA helped defeat that gun ban that the United Nations was going to vote on. So I want to give three cheers for the NRA for the hard work they put into that, because if that ban, if that treaty had been ratified, our private weapons would be taken away from us. We wouldn't have any way to defend ourselves against intruders or animals or anything. But the NRA was successful in having that to where we could still have the right to bear arms.
That's right, which is our right as American citizens. The Second Amendment states that, and that's in the Bill of Rights, and we treasure that. You know, if we don't keep the Second Amendment, if we don't keep our Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms, then we can forget about all the other rights, because they will be taken away without any restraint upon the government. You know, I was an NRA member for some years, and I appreciate what they do as well. You know, it seems to me like the only ones who don't want us to have the right to bear arms are the dictators and the criminals. They would like nothing better for us to not be able to defend ourselves. You know, bullies are like that. They don't pick on the strong. A bully doesn't pick on the strong. A bully picks on the weak. And dictators are like that, and criminals are like that. A criminal is not going to come up fully armed and capable of defending themselves. They prey upon the weak and the, you know, so, you know, keep
and they
the Second
get,
Amendment.
They can,
right.
They can get weapons. If they were to declare that people had to turn in all of their weapons, well, it would be the honest people who would have to turn in their weapons, but the crooks and all, they could still get them. So I really appreciate the NRA, what they are doing. It's a continuous fight with something all the time. We don't want to come under the United Nations. We don't want them controlling us. We want to remain a sovereign country.
That's right. That's right. You know, our right to bear arms comes from, and I like to go back to this. I always like to go back to the Bible in everything. You know, with the right to life, well, let's go back to the Declaration of Independence, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. They are not transferable. They are not to be given away. And the first one listed is life, that we have the right to life. And with that right to life comes to defend that life. With the right of property comes the right to defend that property. And James Madison, the father, our architect of our United States Constitution, that's a title that he's given quite frequently, he said that property, that our very beings, that my body is my property, my mind is my property, my conscience is my property. And, you know, we have, with that right of property and that right of life, we have the right to defend them as well and defend our loved ones. So, you know, I wish people would think this thing through before they just react to a tragedy. And, you know, why would we take away guns from decent law-abiding people and only leave guns in the hands of the criminals and the government?
That's right. You know, you were talking about, getting back to what you originally was talking about, God creating everything. I'm switching gears on us a little bit here. Yule and I were just talking yesterday afternoon. We looked at the beautiful sunset, and only God could paint a sunset. Now, men can, they can imitate it, but they can't make it out of the real thing. And God, being the greatest artist the world has ever known, his artwork is living art. It reproduces itself. But still, there's no two of anything exactly alike. They're talking about cloning. It won't be exactly alike. Even God himself made us all different. And when I look at the color and the flowers and the sunset and then the birds and the butterflies, and I think how creative God was, and he likes beauty and he likes color. And mankind can only make something out of that which God has already created. Atom bomb was made out of atoms that God created. I mean, everything that is made, our refrigerators are made out of materials that God created. Nothing is man-made when you think about it. It might be man-built, but it won't be man-made because God made everything that everything we use. I mean, there's no existence without something that God has made. Mankind can't make the air we breathe. Now, they can confine oxygen to an oxygen tank, but they don't make the oxygen. So when we think about God's mastermind, the creator, it makes it more wonderful. It makes our salvation more wonderful because in all that, God made man in his image. And I'm sure we have disappointed him so many times, but he loved us so much. And we hear this all the time, and we take it for granted. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, in addition to that, look what God has done for mankind. All this and heaven too. We have all the beauty around us. We have all the conveniences in this 100-degree weather. We're cool and comfortable in air conditioners, which they use something God made to make the air conditioner. We get in that car, we expect it to run. It wouldn't run without something that God had created. So I don't see how anybody could doubt our great creator. With just a blink of an eye, he can just destroy it all. That's how powerful he is. But yet, sometimes mankind is so arrogant to think that any accomplishment we might have made, oh, we did it, we did it. And even the greatest invention of mankind does not compare to the least, does not compare to the mystery that lies on a caterpillar that can become a beautiful butterfly. Mankind can't do that. And one thing that really blesses me is the fact that when God is for us, nobody dare be against us. But first of all, we've got to accept his provision he's made for us, that we can have all these beautiful things, all the promises that he's made. And you think about how great the Bible is, what a great gift that is from God. That's written by God himself. He dictated, mankind just transcribed it. And it's all at our fingertips, and it's so sad that so in so many homes, the Bible is coated with dust. But the creation all around us, it just speaks of God. Everything around us, you can just see him everywhere. And it makes you feel so insignificant when you think about what is man that God is so mindful of him.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful, Miss Annette. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and the more we study God's word, the more we appreciate creation, all the beauties of creation. Those beautiful sunsets, beautiful sunrises. I've been just in awe of the Lord this summer in studying the cloud formations. I love to paint, and I paint in oils. And right now I'm working. I am enjoying. doing a flower painting. And this time, I am just instead of looking at just from what I've observed of nature, of course, but I'm really trying to let the Lord lead me in my painting of the flowers. He who created the flowers, and it's just been such a pleasure, and I am just really really wanting to. I do some skyscapes with beautiful cloud formations. And I think about the master the Lord is the master artist, as you said, and he creates out of nothing. And these beautiful, beautiful scenes for us. But, you know, one of the greatest earthly artists, Michelangelo, was known to say that that his work was but an echo, you know, just an echo of the master artist, you know. And, yeah, we can create a something that looks like a sunset, but we can't create a sunset. We can paint a beautiful tree, but we can't create a tree, you know. And we're limited in what we can do. And yet, we probably don't do even a tiny portion of what God has placed within us. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, it's talking about wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And we see that the Lord has done that throughout history. Those who have sought him, I think about Matthew Mari, who read in God's Word where about the paths in the sea. And so he set out to find those paths, and he did, and he mapped them, and the wind currents and the paths in the sea, which was a phenomenal discovery that has helped mankind all over the world in various ways, numerous ways, not just making travel faster, safer, but in a lot of other ways as well. And from a simple, you know, he saw the scripture, I believe it's in Psalms, that God talks about the paths of the sea, one verse. And so he set out to find them and did. You know, oil from the flinty rock. Bible speaks of, well, where do we find oil? In the flinty rock, you know, and on and on and on. But I think it's interesting. I think about so many of the great scientists sought God's wisdom, and not for themselves, but to be able to help others. You know, they had the a heart that loved God and loved their neighbors, and so you know, they were seeking knowledge from God, but seeking his wisdom, and they did indeed find out knowledge of witty inventions that has blessed all of mankind, most of the world. So, you know, the Lord is just, there's, you know, nobody like him. He is above all. There is none beside him. There is none like unto thee, O Lord. And just to think, Ms. Nett, just to think that he looks upon us with love and kindness and mercy, and he desires us. He desires to be with us, for us to be with him. And the more that we are with him, and the more time we spend with him, the more we seek his guidance, the more we thank and praise him for all he's already done and is doing, you know, the more he can give of himself. Because, well, for one thing, because the more time, you become like the person you're with. Husbands and wives can attest to that, those who've been married for many years, or maybe, you know, a great friendship enduring for many years. You become like the person you're with. And the more time we spend with the Lord, that quality time, and we do become more like him. And we want to become, the more time we spend with him, the more we desire to be like him, and the less desire we have for the things of the world. It just works that way, doesn't it?
Right, and there's nothing compare with the joy of the Lord that we have in our hearts. A little spark of joy in my heart is what keeps me going, and that spark never goes out. I don't care what the situation is, what circumstances are, but that spark is still there, and I feel it even during hard times. But then when we see God at work, it just blazes up into a blaze, and the joy is just, for the lack of a better word, it's overwhelming in a way. It's just that joy blazes up, and it humbles you to know just how great God is and still he cares. Sometimes when I pray, I say, well, Lord, well, Yule now, my husband, for instance, he works outside all the time in this heat, and I'm concerned about him and the rattlesnakes because there are a lot of rattlesnakes on this hill. I pray and ask the Lord to take care of him. And some of the things that he does, he shouldn't be doing in his age. It's too strenuous, but yet he still attacks it. And sometimes I say, well, Lord, I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of people to take care of, but if you've got an angel to spare, please send one to help you all. And I've seen it just supernaturally so many times where God supernaturally helped him. And of all the rattlesnakes that we've found up here, God has given us a little dog that can find them, and he goes out with Yule, and he locates the snakes before Yule gets that close to them. And just little things like that, people might think, well, that's silly. Well, I told somebody one time, if you choose not to believe, you can, you know, you doubt, you do without, but I choose to believe and receive. So,
that's right.
I'm thankful for the little dog. I look at him and I tell him, you're a gift from the Lord. And
yes,
that's the way it is when you've got your confidence set in the Lord. He'll make provision for you, sometimes even through the animals. Now look at Elijah and the ravens. So God created mankind and gave him dominion over everything. And everything is for our pleasure. And we're not to abuse it or anything, but just to see the kindness and goodness of God in providing those things for us, like providing the little dog that has a nose for smelling out snakes. Some people might laugh at that, but if they live where we live with all the snakes crawling around, they wouldn't think it was funny. I'm just so grateful to the Lord for that. And it just other things. I know we've had, when Yule was in business for himself, there's been times when business would be slow. We wondered how we were going to get by. And God would always send an extra job or something that we could do. And he provides for his people. I can't understand why anybody would not want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's like a personal friend for each one of us. You wonder how any one person could be a friend to so many millions and millions of people. But I feel that he's my personal friend. You feel that he's your personal friend. And he's got enough of himself to go around if people would accept him.
That's right. And there is still room at the cross for each one of us and everyone to come. There is room at the cross. You know, everything that you have spoken about is biblical. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your heart. And he will guide your steps, you know. And that's what you're doing. And I was thinking of this one too. That every day he loads us down with benefits. You know, his people. You know, I think about, I saw this in such a way. The Lord has been so kind to me over the years in showing me. I'm a mother of four, a grandmother of six, and I kind of see things through a parent's eyes and grandparents' eyes. And so he is our Father. And, you know, one of the pictures kind of that I saw was a mother baking a cake. Well, who gets to lick the bowl after the cake is put in the pan? Like, who gets to lick the bowl? Well, it's the child that's right there in the kitchen with her. It's the child that's nearby. And I thought about that picture with the Lord. You know, if we stay nearby him, if we stay close to him, right up with him, and we don't leave him, we stay right with him, there are going to be blessings running over, you know. There just are, because and correction is a blessing. We don't want to go off on the wrong trail or a misstep. So I'm considering correction and discipline because he loves us and doesn't want us to have ideas that are not right and actions that are wrong. He will correct us. A father corrects his children, and that's part of the love of a father. Well, so that's a blessing, too. That's a benefit, too.
That's right.
I think maybe people have gotten the wrong image of God. I think maybe we, his children, have not always reflected him accurately. And I think that we have failed, and we talked about this before, Miss Annette, I think we have failed particularly in the 20th century and now going in the 21st century. I think we have failed to present truth, biblical truth, regarding the existence of heaven and hell. You know, John Wesley said, and he was a great preacher and brought, untold thousands, hundreds of thousands of people into the kingdom of God. God ministered through him. But he said, in your Methodist, of course, and you would know all about John Wesley, but one of the things that I love, he said, was that I seek to always keep heaven and hell before me. And he didn't fail to teach the truth about heaven and about hell. And Scripture is filled with information about both, but there is a lot of information, truth, about hell in the Bible, and it is real. It is a place of torment and torture that we do not want to go there, and we do not want anyone, not even our worst enemy to go there. God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. That's God's desire, and that's our desire too. But we have failed to present the truth of hell, I believe. What about you?
Oh, mercy. You don't ever hear a sermon anymore about hell and how terrible it is, but Jesus preached on it. And he intended for people to know that hell is real. And those who do not accept the provision that God made through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, they're going there if they don't accept the provision God's made to escape. God, in his love and mercy, knew that we weren't going to live by the Ten Commandments on our own. And he gave us the most simple way out of going to hell. He gave us his only begotten Son. It's just a matter of accepting him and repenting and just turning our lives over to him. I was thinking about in Psalms 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means God has his wings over us, just like a mother hen has over her chicks. And we can choose. We can choose to be under the shelter of his wings, or we can choose to be out from under the shelter. But during a storm, it's hard to survive if you're not under some sort of a shelter. And people choose that. And those who refuse to accept Christ as their Savior, they just automatically choose to go to hell. And it wouldn't be verbal, of course, but that's what happens if they don't repent and choose Jesus. And the thing about it is, life is miserable on this earth, and then hell to follow. Well, those who accept Jesus, the provision that God's made, we have wonderful blessings. I'm not saying we won't have troubles, we won't have sickness, we won't have sorrow. We have all that, but we have someone, Jesus, that goes through it with us, and all his wonderful blessings in the here and now, and heaven too. So I can't understand why anybody wouldn't choose Jesus and the provision that God's made for us.
Well, you know, I think too that we have failed. There's a lot of misunderstanding about Jesus. I think people think they either think universal salvation, that everyone is going to be saved, because after all, Jesus came and died for sinners, and we're all sinners, and so because he came and died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that everyone is going to go there. And universal salvation is one of the errors of today's world. And that it's okay, what Jesus paid for the sin, and it's okay, and now you're okay. They don't understand that it is an exchanged life, that we do not get the life of Jesus Christ within us unless we give him our life. We've got to give him, you know, it is an exchange. And that hasn't been taught, that it costs you, it does cost something. It's very, why shouldn't it? It's the most precious gift ever. You know, why shouldn't it? Well, it will cost you your life. We die to ourselves. We're going to die to those things that we want to do. Now, when we accept the Lord and he does come to live within us, the Lord gives great gifts. And sometimes he gives back some of the things that we've given to him. But we have to be willing to give all. Jesus gave all for our eternal salvation, which is, it's never ending. It is throughout all eternity. And our time on earth is very, very short. So, you know, looking at it, I mean, even logically, we give up our own lives, what we want to do, how we want to do it, everything, and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can have him within us and let him be in charge, to sit on the throne of our heart, to guide us, to direct us, to comfort us, to help us be what he wants us to be. He has a plan for us. He wants to fulfill that plan. Each one is different. You said earlier where he creates each one of us differently, that we all have different handprints. The Bible says that God knows how many hairs are on your head, how many hairs are on my head, that he knows before a word is in our mouth. Behold, he knows the whole of it. He knows what we're going to say. He knows when we're going to stand up, when we're going to sit down. He is all wise, all knowing, all powerful, and he has sent his only begotten Son to this earth to pay for my sin, the debt I owed. I was born into sin, the Bible says. I was born into a sin nature with a propensity to sin, to do wrong. And I can try to reform myself. I can try to improve myself. I mean, you know what? You know, you're not going to do it. It's a God work that has to be done within me. And so, as we give, as I gave God my heart and my mind and turned my life over to Him, then He was able to come in within me and change me from within. And as a result of that, not only do I have eternal life through Christ Jesus, but I can have that abundant life right now on this earth. And I can have His guidance. I can have His comfort. I can have His wisdom. I can have whatever He wants me to have. And it is a precious, precious relationship, a fellowship, closer than a brother, closer than a husband and wife. It's a closeness that is only imaginable, that we can have on this earth. You know, I mean, wow, what a God. What a God.
Well, in the beginning, one of the names for Jesus is the Word, chapter W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and by Him was all things made. Well, when you think about it, He was there when God said, "Let us make," and He was talking to His Son Jesus then, only He didn't have the name of Jesus at that time, I don't suppose. But when you think about it, and then when He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, through his arrogance, offered Him the kingdoms of the world if He'd follow Him. Well, they were already His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The devil's just claim, whatever the Western term is, on it, and God has allowed it for just a little while. But Jesus, the world's His, but still He had no place to lay His head, it said. And when I lie down at night, I think about the comfortable place I have to rest. I get up in the morning. I don't have to worry about having food on the table. Jesus, He was invited into some of His followers' homes, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Simon and Peter. Some of those He was offered a bed in their homes, but He slept beside the road, I'm sure, at times. And the earth was His, but He deliberately gave up heaven and came and walked as a man. And that's the reason He understands our weaknesses, because He knows what physical weakness is. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He felt emotions. He wept over Jerusalem. He was every bit God and every bit man, but He was restricted to being man while He walked this earth. And although the whole the earth is His, and He is coming back to reclaim it, He's long-suffering. God is long-suffering. It's like you said earlier. He's not willing that any should perish. So when you think about it, and I believe God made heaven big enough for everybody.
That's right. That's right. He surely did, Miss Annette. Hey, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I understand that we have a guest in two, and I'd like to give that person a chance to say hello to us and make a comment or ask a question. Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. Go ahead. Okay. But we'll just continue talking then. Maybe they'll call back. That would be good. Or just listen. It's perfectly okay just to listen too. But we did want to give every caller a chance to make a comment or ask a question too.
But anyway,
I love what you're sharing about the Lord, Miss Annette. And I think that the Lord is pleased. I believe He's pleased when we talk about Him and His wonders, and especially when we talk about salvation, that God wants to save. He wants to save and rescue whosoever will come to him and call upon his name and will bow not just the knee, but the heart, the mind, the life to Jesus Christ and confess Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And I love that scripture too, Miss Annette, in the book of Acts. I believe it's the 16th chapter. Because I still have loved ones who are not yet saved, who have not come into that personal, intimate relationship with God that God would have for them. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy family. And many of us are holding on to that promise and praying for family members who are not yet saved, who have not yet given their lives to Jesus Christ and are living for him. See that? We are to live for him. We live for ourselves. Until that point where we see that, well, for however the Lord deals with us, we see that we're sinful and in need of a Savior. That's what the Ten Commandments show us. They show us God's standards, and we look at those Ten Commandments from the very first, thou shalt, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and we see that we have violated that, even the first commandment, because we've made a God to please ourselves. Well, you've heard people say, well, my God is a loving God, which of course he is, but that he would send no one to hell. Well, you know, there is heaven, there is hell, and there will be people in both places. And so, you know, if we say that that's not true, we've made a God according to our standards or what we think, and that's idolatry. I mean, you know, from that commandment to the rest of the Ten Commandments about thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, you know, who among us has not told a lie and violated that commandment or the others, you know. So we have violated God's standards and are destined to pay for that in hell. We are destined to go to hell for sinning against a holy, pure God. He can't allow us to come into his presence in heaven. There's not going to be any sinners in heaven. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. It's a place where there'll be no tears, no sorrow, but great joy and great purity and cleanness and beauty and a place of everlasting joy and gladness. And that would not be heaven if sin was allowed to enter heaven. So, but the goodness of God, He sent to this earth Jesus Christ to rescue us from our sin, because God wants us with him in heaven. And so Jesus came and paid my sin debt, and I am now declared not guilty when I receive Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life, to live for him from, you know, then my sin debt is paid. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, you know, Jesus said that if we accept him, he will be in us, and he is in the Father, and we're in the Father. We all become as one. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's quite something to think about when we're having fellowship with God and with his Son, and he lives within us. And you, people say, well, how do you know? I've heard skeptics say, I don't believe anything that I can't see. Well, they do. Sometimes we have more faith in that automobile that we're meeting on the road sometimes than we have in the Lord. And we have a lot of drunken drivers on the road, and we could very well have an accident, but we don't think about that when we get in the car. But Jesus, when he comes within, he's living within us, he's there at all time. And sure, I can't see Jesus. I can only testify of that I feel him in my heart. I can't see the wind. I see evidence of the wind. And I can't see my breath. In cold weather, you can see ice forming on your breath when it's really cold. But he's just as real as the air we breathe. And in fact, I think Holy Spirit means breath of God. He breathes life into Adam. And he's within us. That breath of God is within us, and it's very real. And I'd like to say, if we have any listeners that don't have that one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus, that peace that passes understanding, it's so simple. You don't have to wait and you go to church next Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever. You, right where you are, you can just simply say, Jesus, take charge of my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Help me to live for you. I need help. Just help me. Just talk to him. Like the best friend you've ever had, and he is the best friend you'll ever have. It's just a conversation with Jesus, repenting and asking him to take charge of your life. And you will start seeing a difference. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you feel overwhelming joy, although sometimes it does happen that way. But sometimes it's just a gradual. You just know because you see things working that you never saw before. And you feel love for unlovable people. That's one good way of knowing if you've got Jesus in your
heart.
That's right. If you can love unlovable people because he is love. And that was sort of the milestone I had whenever I was new in Christ, was when I discovered that I could love unlovable people. And I knew then that I had Jesus because he is the author of love. I mean, he's the giver of love. And if anybody's listening and they don't have that peace of having Jesus within their heart, it's just that simple, dear friend. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all have to come to the Father through him. There's no other means. Buddha can't lead us to heaven, can't lead us to God. Muhammad can't lead us to God. Confucius, any of those. They don't have the keys to the kingdom. Jesus has those keys, and only Jesus. But he loves everyone equally.
And you know, Miss Annette, as you were speaking out, I was thinking, I know that that's God's desire. What you were telling others, I know that's his desire. That those who don't yet know him, just talk to him, as you said, as a friend. God would be well pleased with that. Well pleased. He's just been waiting, for you to do just that. And, Miss Annette, when I was born again, I cried out to the Lord with four words. And he came to me, and I know everybody's different. Everybody, the way I wasn't in a church building, as you said. I was kneeling down beside a bed praying with, I'd ask a friend to pray with me to receive the Holy Spirit. And she was praying, and just praying. Oh, it was so beautiful, beautiful, wonderful. And then she looked at me and she said, "Now you pray." And all I could say at that moment was, "Jesus, I need you." And he came. He came. And I want to tell you, everybody's different, but with me, it was as if the windows of heaven just opened for me. And there was no more barrier, no more distance between God and I. It was opened to me. And I knew his ears were open to my prayer. I knew that his presence was with me. And just as when you meet someone in the natural on this earth, and you know you've met them, and nobody is going to tell you that you haven't met them and talk you out of thinking that you've met someone. There is a certainty. There is a knowing. The Holy Spirit beareth witness. And, then what happened was that I began to have a hunger for God's word. And the more I read his word, the hungrier I got. And the more I read, the more I wanted to read. And so, it became that love letter to me from God himself. And so, from that point on until this day, I love God's word, and I love to read it daily. I love to meditate on it. I love to learn from it. I love to be corrected from it. And so some things happened immediately, and then other things happened over time. It's both, it was both immediate, and then it was a process of the sanctification part. You know, it's like a process. The Lord would, some things, I just love this, some things the Lord removed from me, and I didn't think about them again and didn't even realize they were gone until, 6 months later, a year later. Things that, for example, soap operas. When I was a young girl, I began watching soap operas. And then my husband and I moved from place to place with his business. It seemed like that was what connected me. It was kind of like a surrogate family type thing, But what I realized after praying to the Lord and giving my heart to him, my life to him, it was about a year after that I realized I hadn't watched a soap opera. I didn't have any interest in watching a soap opera. I had a desire to know what's true and real, and, it was just gone and never interested me again. But it wasn't something I gave up. It was just something that, I don't know.
Well,
gone.
I was into horoscopes. I was into horoscopes, and the Lord just revealed to me that I didn't need horoscopes because whoever wrote them didn't have the answer that I needed anyway. And he just pointed it out to me. And I'll have to admit, it was sort of hard for me, though, because I'd say, well, I'll just wait till the next day and read yesterday's and see if it really came true.
Isn't that so funny? We make these deals and justifications sometimes. I know we've all done it.
Then I start skipping that page in the paper. I've lost the desire. I got where I never even wanted to see one. Not even tempted anymore to read one.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Some things are effortless, and then some things can be a little harder. But the big thing is that the Lord will work in us. He will work with us. He will work in us to lay down those things that are not pleasing to him, and to he'll work in us to help us develop those things that are pleasing to him, and that are good for us, and that are part of fulfilling his plan in us, the very best of the best,
Right.
Well, listen,
he needs us as much as we need him, that's for sure.
That's the truth. That is the truth. And I tell you something you said earlier in the show about you feel humbled and after, you know, that's when you know you have been with God. If you didn't know it at the time, if it brings a humility, a gratefulness to a humility, you know, an overwhelming humility, I think that's a real indication that God is at work within us when we feel overwhelmed with humbleness and see God's graciousness and His mercy and His loving kindness. Well, Miss Annette, we're at the end of the show. In fact, we're just running out of time real quickly. Would you like to say a closing prayer for us, please?
Okay. Dear God, thank you for this time that we've had together. And I pray, Lord, that the person that called that we lost before we had a chance for them to ask a question, I pray, Lord, that you will bless that person. Whatever the need is, Lord, I just pray that you'll supply that need and help them to know that it came from you, Father. But, Lord, if they just wanted to make a comment, something that would have encouraged us, I just pray, Lord, that they'll call back at another during another program, Lord. Father, your people are everywhere. And, Lord, we're just one big family because we are the family of God. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless each and every person today that listened to the program. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to speak for you. And, Lord, we just ask you to have mercy on our nation. Lord, help us this upcoming election. Lord, to get people, God-fearing people, in office, Lord, and help our nation to turn back to you. And we just thank you and give you praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Annette. And Diana and I appreciate you so much and love you so much.
Love you all, too. Have a blessed week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And listeners, we ask that you join us tomorrow. Ben Dupree will be on from the Moral Foundation. And he always brings us such important information. And so join us then and share this podcast with your friends and family, wherever they live, in this country or throughout the world. Go to cityonahill.tv, where you'll find this podcast and many other very, very informative and inspiring podcasts as well to listen to and to share with others. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.